It is a Friday, and this is always presented by Henderson and Watercutty. See what they can offer you at stlcriminaldefense.com. They're available 24/7, stlcriminaldefense.com. Couple of guys that decided to stay in St. Louis and helping out folks in both Missouri and Illinois. It's parking tickets to serious offenses, stlcriminaldefense.com. And as always, on a Friday, we say good morning to Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch. How we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to see baseball. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the NBA come back. I'm seeing the NHL, and man, I want to see baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you, although I'm starting to wonder. It sure seems like we're heavy on rhetoric and heavy on saber-rattling and not heavy on solutions. This is to some degree same old song and dance, owners versus players, and we're seeing it continue to play out. I mean, we've had the first official proposal from the owners, the first financial proposal that was pretty much immediately dismissed by the players, and now the question becomes, what next? It does seem like, Dan, for all the discussion about health and protocols and all these things, this is really going to boil down to the money. And if the players cannot come to some sort of an agreement with the owners about how they view that March 26th agreement and where they go from there, then this is all going to be a lot for nothing. It says everything about these two sides right now, that the biggest part of their disagreement stems from the agreement they made in March. They can't even agree with what they agreed about. And that tells us everything we need to know right now. I mean, the players felt like they agreed to receive a prorated portion of their salary for however many games they played in 2020 if the season resumed. The owners point to other language in the contract that says, you know, in their eyes pretty clearly that things get a chance to be renegotiated if you have to adjust to things like no fans in the stands. The owners have told the players all of the financial data that they want to present on how much money they are going to lose. And the players have responded by saying, we don't believe you. We want to see these documents. The owners haven't handed all of them over. There's some serious distrust here, and there's a ticking clock that's going to have to, you know, be the backdrop of getting something arranged so you can have 3 weeks of spring training in time to launch a meaningful season and hopefully get to a postseason. So tell you what, you know, I was optimistic leaving spring training that this would not happen, that we would not be derailed by the standoffishness between the two sides. And I kind of hoped that there would be a silver lining here between something as massive as this pandemic would maybe bring some clarity to this kind of ongoing fight between these two sides, but that didn't happen. And here we are with two rivals here who are resorting to their old tactics. We've seen everything from media leaks to shots on Twitter to Scott Boras injecting himself into this, trying to play both sides of the aisle and getting called out for it by players. I mean, it's not pretty, and it just really stands out when you compare it to kind of just the quiet nature of the same conversations that are going on in hockey and NBA. When do we hear about these sides fighting? We don't. We just hear when there's news and when they've agreed to something, and there might be some differing takes, but there's not this all out war. So that doesn't bode well. There's money on the line. So I think there could be, you know, still an agreement reached. It's probably going to have to happen, within the next week or so, because if you get too far beyond that, then you're looking at, you know, everybody saying, hey, this isn't worth it.
Players, owners, do you fall on one side? Where do you fall on that?
Well, my initially I fall on both of them, because I don't think either of them have a very good grasp of realizing how bad this looks for their sport. They are obsessed, it seems like, with not losing to one another. And there's so much distrust there that they can't almost, you know, can't even seem to think about anything else. But what they should be thinking about is, you know, what this says to the people they're going to want to come back and buy tickets for their games, the people they're going to want to sit down and watch them play, to support them, whether they own the team or play for the team. It is very off-putting. And I don't blame people who are put off by it to see this rhetoric and these conversations being the national discussion about baseball. This would have been the ultimate time to make sure that conversations were had in good faith, to make sure that the agreements that were ironed out previously were upheld, and that there was no confusion about them, that there was no backtracking on things that were seemed to be, you know, agreed upon. And also that there weren't a lot of negative conversations getting out. You know, there's a real situation going on here where players are finding out about the proposal before they've been told about it. How does that happen? It's supposed to be a conversation between two sides held out of the public view, but the owners are leaking things before players can even get a chance to view them. I think it's both. You know, I think it's, I don't know what good players are doing themselves when they take a hard line stance. You know, and I've really compared that to things we've heard from like Andrew Miller, who has been, you know, optimistic and hopeful to work towards some sort of compromise and not giving up his opinions, or abandoning his beliefs, but saying that, look, you know, we're here with the intent to play. Those voices, I'm afraid, are being drowned out by, you know, this, well, there's nothing to even entertain here and that kind of discussion. The owners are just as bad. They've backed the players into a corner where they're trying to very much win the PR battle of making it seem like it's the players who don't want to play. So can we assign it equally? Because I'm disappointed in both just as much. I think the owners do a much better job of trying to come across as the good guy, but I'm not buying that either.
It's going to be tough to get this done and everybody be happy when, as you mentioned, it's being negotiated through the public. And that's a real problem right now when you're dealing with unemployment rate very, very high. 40 million Americans do not have jobs. The NBA and the NHL, they're getting their house in order, so to speak, to finish up their season and then look ahead. That's what makes this, I think, very, very tough for people to deal with. And, oh, by the way, there's a pandemic, so they don't want to hear about money. And when you're talking about this stuff publicly, it's not good, Ben. It's a bad look for the sport right now.
And that's on the owners. I mean, the owners wasted a lot of time trying to gain momentum for this revenue sharing idea that they knew was not going to get any traction with the players whatsoever, so much so that they never even officially presented it, Dan. I mean, what was the point of that? You know, just so you could make it seem like you had two proposals that got shot down. I mean, there's too much posturing and not enough real conversations that are going to try to get this thing moving forward. And unfortunately, I think the backdrop to all of this is what's going to happen after 2021, when there has to be either a new collective bargaining agreement or some sort of a work stoppage. I don't want to be the doomsday guy, but if these sides can't come to some sort of an agreement under the public pressure to not let money be the reason they don't try to have a 2020 season, what in the world makes us think that they're going to come up with a compromise before, you know, they play the 2022 season? You know, I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth considering for both of these parties. Are they prepared for the potential of having one season in the next three calendar years? And that's assuming that there's not going to be any modifications made to the 2021 season due to the fallout from the pandemic. I mean, we're talking about a huge moment for the sport. And the problem is the two sides are still talking about things as if it's business as usual. And that's not the case here. We have not seen any sort of statements or concessions made on either side that suggest that they really understand the gravity of the situation. And maybe this is all posturing and hot air and they come up with some sort of a deal. And I think there's enough money available that I think both sides will try to play. But the problem with that, even if they do it, is that they've really scrapped what could have been a win for the game, a win for the sport, a sign to say, hey, there's some disagreements here, but we all agree that you know, we needed to work this out. And, you know, here's our best plan to play. We're all in agreement. And we'll get to that other stuff when it comes up. But right now, this is about giving the fans a product they want to see safely, where the players feel like they can do it, and we're all agree that we're probably all going to be affected financially, but that's not the most important thing. I mean, imagine the goodwill that could have been created if that stance would have been taken. Unfortunately, you know, and that was kind of the vibe on that when that March 26th agreement was struck. And now looking at that in hindsight, that's been, you know, the details of that agreement have been part of the biggest problem.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314 314- 615-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. 17 or 18 months, hypothetically, if they don't play baseball. And it's a hypothetical. And let's say the NBA and the NHL, they finish this season, even without fans, and it's enjoyable. We all kind of get used to it. It is what it is. Not ideal, but it happens. And then by November, December, they're starting, you know, the 2021 season. And all of a sudden, you're still waiting for baseball. Where would baseball be, in your opinion, in the landscape of sports? Some believe fans are always going to come back. I don't know. This is a different deal. This is not 1994. This isn't 2002. What do you think if they don't play? And what happens then in spring of 2021?
I think it would be the game would be very much pushed down our list of national priorities, and it's not in great shape compared to the other leagues where it begins. You don't think just of the amount of fans that would be lost. I mean, there would be people who understandably walked away from the game. I mean, if you are a father of four, hypothetically, and you have lost your job during this crisis, and the one thing you like to do is sit and watch the Cardinals play baseball, and that gives you some comfort and some reprieve. And these guys let not the health issues or health scare or risk, but the money become the reason that a season isn't played. Then I can understand why that guy's not coming back as a fan, why he's not going to buy tickets. I think you'll deal with that. I think you'll also deal with the fact that, you know, you're going to have some of the game's best players miss huge parts of their career. I mean, think about, you know, all the guys who are on that cusp of being great, and 2 years from now, 1 year from now, they're going to be on their way down. All those guys miss a chance to perform. God knows what the minor leagues would look like by then. I mean, we've already seen massive cuts to minor leaguers happening around the league. You know, the Cardinals, I think, you know, deserve praise for continuing to keep their minor leaguers on through June. We'll see what happens after that. But the organizations doing that are growing fewer and far between. And you're talking about an entire upheaval of the feeder system for Major League Baseball, and some real big hits to some of the players in their prime who might not be the same when they come back. On top of that, you know, we talk about how pitchers are affected by, you know, one fewer day of rest. What are they going to look like after a season or more off? I mean, these are massive questions that I don't think that, you know, are being considered enough by some of the people who are having these conversations in the room.
In terms of the minor leagues, we're hearing more and more. I mean, the A's obviously were the first team to say they're not going to pay their minor leaguers the $400. What is it, weekly or whatever it is? Weekly, correct? I believe it's weekly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so they stop this month. And as you mentioned, other teams are now starting to look at that. There was going to be an elimination of probably, 42 minor league affiliations with various clubs. Is that fair to say? Probably even prior to this?
They were on the chopping block.
And now it's official. I mean, that there's no way those come back. So where's minor league baseball this time next year?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a terrible timing for the minor leagues to get into a spot where they were really feuding with the major leagues. And now this argument happened obviously before anybody knew coronavirus was going to turn everything on its head. But you remember kind of the building animosity toward between these two groups, even at like winter meetings this year. You know, there was Manfred's, you know, claim that there were a lot of minor league facilities that weren't, you know, giving players good enough facilities. You know, we really saw this plan for constricting the minor leagues start to come forward. And unfortunately, the coronavirus pandemic played against the minor leagues that already existed. Would we have seen more help, more willingness to try to help some of the minor leagues overcome this? From the major league side, if there would not have been that animosity before all this happened, perhaps. But I think what you're going to see is basically a completely rebuilt structure for the most part. And you know, we have not heard the major league side say much, if anything, about its concern or its hopes for how the minor leagues is able to weather this. I think you're going to see a massive restriction in clubs. Organizations, you're going to see teams folding. I think you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of minor league players probably leave baseball. And that's, I think, what the end game will be here for baseball. Its minor league system is going to be significantly downsized, and it will be more under the umbrella of Major League Baseball. And, you know, minor league baseball has a lot of guys who play their entire careers without reaching the majors. It has a lot of teams. It helps a lot of cities. But I think, you know, as baseball continues to move forward to this, you know, almost hedge fund type management, it is realized that it can have fewer teams. It's got players getting to the majors faster, and that it can save costs by not having these organizations. And it can streamline and probably make more money by being in complete control of them and just having fewer teams and more influential and you know, cost efficient places. And now they've, because of the fight that preceded the coronavirus pandemic, I think they're going to be pretty cut and dry about getting there too.
Boy, I never thought that I'd say the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, was a beacon of light, but that's the way I looked at it this week and how he handled the NHL coming back. Look, we're going to try to do it. This is how we're going to do it. We've had great cooperation with the players, and let's see if we can pull this thing off. I give them credit. They're going to try to make this thing happen, and as a Blues fan, I'm excited to see it.
Man, you know, it's the thing I've said from the beginning with baseball. Let the virus be what decides if you have a season or not. Not money or other fights that come up along the way. I think that's what these leagues owe to their fans. Now, if there cannot be a way to do it safely, or if players have legitimate concerns about an inability to play, then I get that. And I think you have to respect that. But let the virus determine whether or not the Stanley Cup champions are crowned. You know, let the virus determine whether or not LeBron James gets a chance to play for, you know, an NBA title that would honor Kobe Bryant. You know, don't get caught up in the stuff that the public has no appetite for right now, which is fighting about dollars. It seems like hockey and basketball have done a much better job of that to me. I'm excited, Dan, about this proposed hockey format. I think it's great. I love that they're giving the teams that are automatically in something to play for in terms of where they're seated. I think that, you know, while the Blues could potentially lose their number one seed, I think giving them, you know, something significant to play for is a much better idea than having them kind of kill time as they wait to face a team that just won an elimination series. I think it's going to be an exciting and probably sloppy, because it's really hard to get back up to speed after so much time off, and the ice is going to be bad because it's going to be the middle of summer, but it'll certainly be memorable and it will certainly be watched. I think the fact that the general tone of the conversation right now around hockey compared to baseball tells you everything you need to know.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. A full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. Some people have said to me it'll be an asterisk next to the champion, and I said I don't look at it that way at all. I see a league that played 85-88% of their regular season games. I think they've come up with a unique format to try to make this work, and in my opinion, this may be the hardest Stanley Cup ever to win because of the circumstances. No fans, teams got healthy, major players got healthy, like Vladimir Tarasenko, so I look at this being one of the hardest cups to ever win if they can pull this thing off.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I've talked to guys like Brett Hull and Jeremy Roenick, and they talk about just how it's just going to be so physically hard to come back after being off this amount of time, not only to get back out there, but to get your body ready and then to ratchet it up to that gear that you have to play in to be successful in the postseason. It's something that's never been done in this manner before. So I don't think it's going to be an asterisk at all. And you know what? For everyone who's whining about, well, why should Chicago be allowed in? You know what? If Chicago can go from a team that might have not made the playoffs to one that got in and then won the damn thing, then good for Chicago. You know, I have this conversation with people about the NCAA tournament where they get all honked off if one of those teams from Dayton, you know, they send the first four to Dayton. And if one of those teams makes a run, then does it really count? hell yeah, it counts. They had a harder road. They got in by the skin of their teeth, and the teams that had easier roads there because they played better couldn't beat them. So, you know, if you're in, you're in. And I don't want to hear anything about, well, it doesn't matter, it's watered down. No, this is going to be unique. It's going to be, you know, different for so many reasons. It's not the traditional thing, but to say it's a watered down championship, I think that's bogus. Ask the guys who tried to win it and didn't. Ask the players who did win it what it means to them. I think it has a chance to be a very memorable one, like you do.
How about the Blues chances? What do you think?
Well, I like the Blues chances, and I've said that from the beginning. I mean, the way they play is not super fancy. You know, it's going to be hard for them to get up to speed, but it's not like they have to, they're not coordinating water aerobics here. They know what they need to do, and it's a pretty cut and dry system. I like the fact that, you know, the way that Craig Berube coaches, I think that will benefit them and the relationship that they have. You throw in a little urgency, because I don't think we'll know anything about Alexander Petrangelo's future before play resumes. So he knows what's on the line, whether he goes or stays. I mean, all that's hanging in front of him. So the time is now. And then you throw in some guy named Vladimir Tarasenko, Dan, who's been hoping and praying that he gets a shot at this thing. You know, all that time that he's had to rest to, you know, recover, to get back in shape every day, to a certain point, helps him, you know, compared to everybody else. So, you know, we talked a lot about, was it right to put him back out there, and how much could he get ready? Well, he should be ready now. If they're going to start training camps in July, then there should be no question as to the shape that he's in, as long as he avoids a re-injury. And that's an addition that no team in hockey is going to have made during this time. I mean, that is the biggest advantage of any team in the postseason format is going to get. So the defending champs, number one seed, they just got back an all-star caliber player who is now should be fully healthy, although a little bit rusty. I think that's a pretty good mix.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400, visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. Final question. The virus dictates it all, whether or not they get back on the ice, on the field, on the hard court. You think these leagues pull this thing off? And we've talked about baseball, but what about the NHL and the NBA? You think they can pull this thing off?
I think they can. I don't know if – I think they'll come up with everything they need to, and then we'll see what happens with health. If they got multiple players who are – and getting infected, then they're probably going to have to shut it down again. I don't think they can have, you know, just having guys leave, you know, leave teams left and right and keep moving this forward. But in terms of putting together a plan to get out there, I have confidence in the NHL especially. I follow the NBA a little bit less just because we don't have a team here in town. But you know, I know they're talking about the Disney idea. I think all of these leagues have realized that, you know, it's in their best interest to try and then see what goes from there. And that's why I like what Gary Bettman has said. I mean, they're seeing the ratings on this silly golf tournament between Tiger Woods and Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They're seeing the ratings that the NASCAR races are getting. They know that there's money to be made there. They also want to have a chance to play for their championships. You know, it's important to remember NHL and NBA, all they have to do is get through a postseason tournament. You know, baseball has to figure out a way to play some sort of a regular season that doesn't get derailed before they can play their postseason tournament. That's a massively different conversation. So I like the chances of NBA and NHL. I'm a little more skeptical about MLB, but I hope that I'm just turned off by some of the noise surrounding it right now and that they prove me wrong.
Ben, always great to catch up. We'll do it again next Friday. Thanks so much.
Sounds good, brother. Talk soon.